Wisconsin Supreme Court has upheld Marcy's Law, a list of rights for crime victims that criminal justice reform advocates say is misleading. It's Wednesday, May 17th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Anya Van Wagtendonk reports on a proposal to give raises to prosecutors and public defenders. And Jenny Peek tells us about a new professional women's soccer team coming to the state. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Wisconsin Supreme Court has upheld a constitutional amendment known as Marcy's Law. As Sarah Lear reports, that amendment outlines additional rights for crime victims and their families.
The vast majority of Wisconsin voters approved the Marcy's Law ballot question in 2020. That triggered adoption of a more than 800-word constitutional amendment listing a variety of rights for crime victims. The Wisconsin Justice Initiative sued, arguing the ballot language failed to describe how the changes would diminish rights of the accused. But the Supreme Court ruled lawmakers followed the Constitution when they sent the amendment to voters. Margot Kirshner with the Wisconsin Justice Initiative worries Tuesday's ruling will give legislators broad leeway to put misleading proposals before the electorate.
Oh, I think it's voter beware now for constitutional ballot questions.
Versions of Marcy's Law have been adopted in at least a dozen states. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican lawmakers are floating a bill that would provide grants to help communities address PFAS contamination. But the bill would also limit the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources' ability to address the chemicals. Green Bay Republican State Senators Eric Wimberger and Rob Coles are seeking sponsors for the bill. It's similar to Democratic Governor Tony Evers' proposal to address PFAS in that it would provide grants to help communities with testing and response. Chris Groh with the Wisconsin Rural Water Association says it seems like a good bill.
We'll take any money that we can get because it's very tight for small systems.
But the bill would also limit the DNR's ability to require communities to address PFAS unless levels went beyond any federal or state standards. And the agency could not force owners of abandoned industrial sites to test for PFAS without a reason. The state's budget writing committee will likely discuss the issue Thursday when it takes up the agency's budget. Wisconsin prosecutors and public defenders would get a pay raise under a proposal that received unanimous support from the legislature's budget writing committee on Tuesday. Anya Van Wagtendonk has more.
Public attorneys' starting salaries would increase by almost $9. They'd get $36 an hour under the GOP-authored budget proposal. Communities across Wisconsin have faced a shortage of public defenders and prosecutors. Advocates say it's because the public sector demands punishing hours for too little money. Democratic Representative Tip McGuire of Kenosha is a former prosecutor.
While I had to work every night until 9 p.m. most of the time, and on weekends to make sure that I was able to provide the individualized justice that I believed was necessary for every case, people can't do that for 10 or 20 years.
The proposal would also remove a salary cap for senior attorneys, a move that lawmakers say will help to retain experienced professionals. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin is set to join the ranks of elite women's soccer. Jenny Peek has more on the state's first professional women's soccer team set to kick off in 2025.
Forward Madison announced Tuesday that it has secured rights to a Division I professional women's soccer franchise. The top-tier team would play at the nearly 100-year-old Bree Stevens Field in Madison, which is already home to a D3 USL League One men's soccer team. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says the team will give people the chance to watch the best women's soccer players in the country and world.
It's an opportunity for young women all across the state of Wisconsin to not only see themselves playing sports, but to see themselves playing professional sports.
But major renovations to the stadium will be needed. That includes women's locker rooms, additional seating for fans, a year-round training facility, and new turf. Jenny Peek, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Green Bay is the best place to live in America. At least, that's what the U.S. News & World Report says. The outlet released its rankings on Tuesday. Each year, U.S. News & World Report ranks cities, colleges, and high schools, but it's faced criticism in recent years over its accuracy. That did not stop some Green Bay residents from celebrating the city being named the best place to live in the country. One resident is Mary Van Boxel, who moved to the community in 1985.
I'm from Minneapolis area, and other than missing family, this has been the best for raising kids.
Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich says he appreciated the national recognition.
I joke that, you know, we're Title Town for a reason, so pretty comfortable being number one.
Local leaders hope the ranking can help bring more people to northeastern Wisconsin. Coming up, Joe Schultz has a story about an oral history of a project dedicated to telling the story of COVID-19 at UW Oshkosh. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a piece about collecting stories for future generations.
UW Oshkosh has completed a massive oral history project documenting the campus's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. As WPR's Joe Schultz reports, it could serve as a resource to help future historians understand the pandemic's impact on higher education in the United States.
People filter into an auditorium at UW Oshkosh. They talk with one another as audio from campus community members begins to play in the background. Suddenly, the auditorium goes silent as lecturer Grace Lim takes the stage. She poses a question to the audience about the pandemic.
Why, after 3 years, would we want to revisit those really terrible, dark days?
Her answer?
Telling the story of our collective trauma, our loss, and our resilience is the goal of the Campus COVID Stories.
Lim has shared thousands of stories from the community for nearly a decade through the Humans of Oshkosh Facebook page and books. But as the pandemic started to drift into the rearview, a new storytelling project emerged. Campus COVID Stories would document how UW Oshkosh responded to the pandemic.
It took me a while to understand how important this is, not only for the future generations and the historians, but I think it was necessary, it was critical that we tell our stories. We need to acknowledge that we all went through a trauma.
UW Oshkosh's pandemic tale mirrors other schools in the UW system. It went virtual in spring 2020, returned to a hybrid model in the fall, and gradually worked its way out of precautions as vaccines became available. The campus COVID stories provide what Lim describes as the most complete account of a campus response in the system. Over 3 semesters, Lim and her students collected over 1.5 million words from administrators, faculty, staff, and students.
I believe these are the stories that connect us as a community.
The project also showcases the plight of UWO's essential workers. That includes lecturer Heidi Hansen's students in the College of Nursing. Many worked as CNAs at nursing homes and hospitals in the midst of a global pandemic.
These are 19, 20-year-old kids who are alone in a long-term care facility with multiple COVID patients and people dying more rapidly than they've ever experienced or may ever experience.
But she has shared this wisdom with her students.
Your grandkids are going to ask you what you did during the pandemic, and you will be able to share with them that you helped prevent disease transmission and you saved lives.
The project also preserved Jada Berg's experience. When she was a UW Oshkosh nursing student, the tragedy of the pandemic hit especially close to home. In late 2021, her mother was hospitalized with COVID-19, shortly before she was scheduled to receive a vaccine. After that Christmas, Berg was visiting her mother in the hospital when an alarm sounded.
I can read EKGs because of my nursing school, and she was an ST elevation, so she was having a cardiac crisis. And they do the code. The doctor comes up to me, and she gives me this look that I've seen from a ton of doctors and a ton of nurses. It's the, we can't do anything else. Like, this is it.
Berg's mother died from COVID-19 complications.
It's really hard watching people still deny COVID when I watched my mom honestly die a pretty bad death because of this. She was 45 years old. Like, I lost my best friend, my absolute rock of my life.
Berg didn't let that tragedy stop her from achieving her goals. She graduated in May 2022 and now is a registered nurse at UW Health in Madison. In many ways, her story showcases the resiliency of the UW Oshkosh community, highlighted by the pandemic. And countless other campus COVID stories also display that ability to bounce back in the face of adversity.
WPR's Joe Schultz brought us that feature on UW Oshkosh's Campus COVID Stories. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Instagram, and through our podcast feed. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.